Hi, guys.
And Mike. What's up? He's a new member to our podcast here, so it's his first appearance. Today's topic on the Earn This podcast is beer. I'm quite a fan of beer, and I know the two people around me are as well. Is that accurate, guys?
It is indeed accurate.
Yes, I am a fan.
But the problem is I don't know very much about beer other than the fact that I like to drink it. I mean, you know, I've tried different beers, and I'm like, oh, this is good. This is good, but I haven't really refined my palate. What about you, Mike?
I think I am the most amateur one here by far, so we'll see what happens.
Colton, on the other hand, either knows what he's talking about or is pretty convincing at,
acting. He can at least fake it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been known to blow smoke out of my ass from time to time, but I did spend a lot of my college years and early grad school years drinking. Not drinking heavily, but drinking thoughtfully, and I've absorbed a lot of beer information.
So we decided, I forget who had the idea, but one of us had the idea that we would do a podcast on beer where we would, Colton would educate us, would drop some knowledge on us on beer. But then it kind of, the idea evolved into, instead of, you know, bringing us new knowledge and having it be an educational thing, turning it around so that it would basically point out how little that I know, and I guess that Mike knows
so
about beer.
So it's just
beer.
A more embarrassing way of basically Colton imparting knowledge on us.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, I thought education is one thing, but isn't it more fun to pit you guys head-to-head in a battle to see who can fail the least?
Yes. Yep, I'm on board with that. So, all right, so Colton has prepared something. I'm not 100% sure what it is, so why don't you explain it to us, Colton?
All right, so what these guys are sitting down to is going to be a gamut of six beers. I went ahead and mix and matched a six-pack at the local bottle shop, and I've got them hanging out in the fridge right now, and I'll pull the first one out in just a minute. I will pour them a tasting of one beer, so they're each tasting the same thing. They'll take a moment to consider it, to absorb it, and then they'll share with us their feelings about what they taste in the beer, what they smell in the beer, what kind of beer they think it might be, anything they have to say about it, really, or the experience of drinking it. I will then judge them harshly and grade them whose line style, awarding points as I see fit, but primarily for accuracy. I want to see if these guys can pick out some truth in what's really in the beer, if they get some things right, if they recognize the style. I want to give them credit for that. And if they don't know anything about the beer, I want to give them credit for bravado and hilarity and aggression. So we'll see what they can do to pull this off. And we'll go through that one beer at a time. They'll give us their tasting notes, and then I'll break down the beer for you all the way to the end. And after six beers, maybe I'll declare like a round-by-round winner, and maybe I'll declare an overall winner.
Can I ask a question before I get started?
Please do.
Did Bud Light Strawberita make the cut?
Strawberita, I determined, is not a beer. I had to pass on that. I don't even think there's beer in it.
I don't know, but it says Bud Light on it.
It's 8% alcohol, and I think it's just a mixed drink.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'm not sure.
A mixed drink in a can.
Yeah. Maybe a shandy would have passed. Maybe like Red's Apple Ale would have passed, but no Strawberita in the lineup.
That's disappointing. All That's right. My type of beer. On the rocks.
So, Mike, do we have a... I know we're the amateurs here, but before we get started, and Colton, of course, can share his too, do we have any, like, things we should say about our taste in beer? Do we have a favorite type of beer?
Yeah, my favorite beer right now is Hopsecutioner by Terrapin Brewing Company.
Okay.
From Georgia. And in general, I like IPAs. I like IPAs a lot. I don't like it when they're very overpowering, like the Dogfish Head 90 Minutes. A little bit too strong for me. But... IPAs that have good flavor with enough hops that you can taste it are some of my favorite things right now.
I've been drinking a fair amount of IPA too, but also trying to explore other things, especially the past few weeks, because I'd been on a couple month IPA streak where I would just pick up whatever, anything that was marked as IPA at the grocery store and give it a try. So we'll see. I think I'm more or less with you on that. So we're on a kind of like level playing fields in terms of what we prefer, I think. So
I for one, tend to prefer very malt-forward beers, especially Belgian styles, and I've tried not to let that influence the tasting tonight. In fact, there are a couple beers in here that I really don't like and wouldn't order, but there are some others
so
that I really would.
So you're giving us the bad stuff, is what you're saying.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to point out for the listeners education that Mike is wearing a Lagunitas brewery. Lagunitas, I'm sorry. Lagunitas.
Whew, who's the amateur now?
Here we go.
Oh, man.
And he's wearing a t-shirt from that brewery, and Dan is wearing a t-shirt in Hebrew. I can't read what it says, although I know it reads from right to left. So I'm going to let you guys sit here and trash talk each other for a minute while I go pour the first beer.
So who do you think is going to win, Mike?
You in a landslide.
You're not a very good trash talker.
This is not a trash talk. I'm just being real. I like to keep it real.
I think you underrate yourself. Like, you can identify a specific beer in a specific brewery. The only thing that I know is that I do like Dogfish Head. Maybe the 90 minutes a little bit strong, but, like, I can't 60 really...
60 minutes pretty good, though.
Yeah, I can't really tell you much.
I mean, I'll tell you, when you...
I don't like dark beers all that much, though.
Yeah, well, what'd you think of the Three-Eyed Raven?
Yeah, so you...
You gave a pretty solid review of that. That's why I'm intimidated, because you wrote me, like, a paragraph on it.
Well,
it was
kind of BSing my way through it, so...
It was good BS, though.
Okay.
It was confident.
Okay, well, we'll see. Yeah, so that's what you got me for my birthday. Yeah. So, that was good. But in general, I don't do dark ales all that much. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, not me neither. Anything that's pretty much any beer that just looks dark, it doesn't even really matter. For some reason, I don't like it.
Okay.
The flavor or whatever you want.
So you just
it.
Get in. So like, is this racism?
Like,
you get intimidated by the dark darkness?
I've been honestly, they'd say that like tasting is a lot of it's not about what's actually.
It's the presentation.
Exactly. So you the view and the aroma and everything like that, and I don't know. I like pretty much anything from a really light pilsner up through a rather heavy, maybe like 8.5% IPA is what I do. But I don't like beers, even if they're lower in alcohol content, that tend to be dark. And I don't know, just my personal preference.
Is it bad that I can't really tell you like? Like if you said pilsner, all I think of is that's something that's kind of light and not very
pilsners
hopsy.
Are from Czechoslovakia.
Okay, yeah.
In origin, and it's basically
not
it's
sure
a,
if serious.
No, I'm very serious. And I'm right?
The
pilsners
town
are Czech.
The town of
in
Pilsen
origin,
in
yeah.
In Czechoslovakia gave us the word pilsner.
Exactly.
Pilsner
but
means a beer from Pilsen.
Oh, see, hold on. I thought this was supposed to be amateurs here. You're
oh
like dropping
God.
Origin.
I'm all of a sudden getting way more confident. No, but yeah, the pilsners now they're not just in Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia doesn't even exist anymore. What's it called now?
The Czech Republic
yeah, okay. And Slovakia.
Yeah, and Slovakia.
Okay.
But in short, yeah, it's like a very light lager, correct? It's a lager.
Yes.
It's in the lager family, and
correct.
It's just a light lager.
All right, guys. So you have your first beer in front of you, and feel free to give it a look, give it a taste, give it a smell. Typically, in a tasting, the list that people run down is the appearance, the smell, the taste, and the mouthfeel. So you can make comments in any or all of those categories. Just maybe chicken scratch out some notes to yourself. Most of this will be done aloud, but just like whatever's most prominent to you. Or if you want to take a stab at some of the real subtleties in the beer, feel free. Nothing wrong about throwing a Hail Mary and being like, you know what, I taste pumpkin seeds in this one. If you're right, that's a lot of points.
Mm.
If you're wrong, maybe it doesn't hurt you too much, but don't try it every single beer. Don't get on my nerves.
Okay. So they're not all pumpkins.
They're not all brewed with pumpkin seed.
Okay.
I think I actually know what this is. Can I take a stab at it?
Absolutely. Why don't we alternate who goes first? Mike, you're up first on beer number one.
I think this is a Belgian triple. I think this is definitely in the ale family, and I think it's a Belgian triple.
Okay. Would you like to say anything else about the beer?
I mean, that's my shot in the dark. As far as tasting it goes, it actually has a rather kind of heavy alcohol note to it for an ale, which to me is why I'm kind of guessing it's a triple, not like a double. There was a large head on the top of it. It was foamy, but you said maybe that was from some... I don't know, operator error or something to that effect?
It was not me, I assure you, who left all that head on top of that pour.
It's got a nice amber color, but it's a little bit darker than some of the lighter, like, amber ales you will see. I don't know, in general, like, this reminds me very much so of at least an ale, and I'm guessing Belgian, and I'm going to guess triple. Should I take a stab at alcohol content, or...?
Yeah, why don't you guess the ABV just as a wild
card?
I want
to go first on this.
Okay.
8.9% ABV.
All right, that's Dan's guess.
Okay.
8.9%.
I'm going to guess 7.5%.
Okay.
Yeah, I also thought it was like a heavyish, flowery, and things that have been called ale that I've tasted have tasted similar to this. That's all that I knew. So, you already went bold on this one, so I'm not going to contradict you here.
Yeah.
Any further notes about what you taste or what you smell in it, Dan? Or even the color, the clarity?
Yeah, amber is the word I wrote down. Actually, amberish is what I wrote down. It gives off less of a scent than I would expect based on the taste, because it does have a aromatic taste to it, but I'm not picking up any strong scents from it.
All right, guys. Would you like the grand reveal?
Oh, goodness.
Let's go for it.
This beer is the Rochefort 6.
Okay.
What is that?
Rochefort is a Trappist brewery in Belgium.
Oh!
Nice.
Yes!
Trappists are a deep story, which I'll leave to our readers, but long story short, Rochefort makes 3 beers. The 6, the 8, and the 10. The 6 is their double.
Oh! No, so I was yay close.
You were yay close.
Oh,
this
man.
This is the, like, pure, straight from the source Belgian double definition of the style.
So this is like textbook.
This is a textbook
Belgian
double. So
what does double mean? It's not spelled like double.
Right. So in Belgian beers, you have doubles and triples, D-U-B-B-E-L and T-R-I-P-E-L.
Okay.
In more recent times, people talk about singles and quads, but doubles and triples are the originals.
Okay.
And the story goes that the monks brew this beer for themselves in-house, and when they want to sell beer to other people, they double or triple the recipe to make the beer stronger and more malty.
Yeah.
So typically, going from single to double to triple to quad, you are increasing alcohol content, you are increasing maltiness, you're increasing sweetness.
What is maltiness? What am I supposed to be tasting? Is that like a flavor?
So, maltiness is a flavor and a mouthfeel. Malt makes the beer sit a little heavier in your mouth if there's more in it. The malt is what gives the beer its color, where the darker color comes from roasting the malt longer. Not necessarily from having more malt, but typically if you're roasting it, if you're getting to a darker beer, it's typically going to have more malt. And the malts provide the sugar, more or less, the raw sugar that the yeast eats to make alcohol. So a lot of malt means more sugar and more alcohol in the final product.
So
as a rule of thumb,
sweeter too. Then, if you
usually, yeah.
Okay.
So I think you guys were both right that this has more of a taste than it has a smell.
All right.
You did a pretty good job of analyzing it. Amber color, way to have eyes, Dan. And I think calling it a triple when it's really a double, I feel like, depending on my mood, that should be an auto win or an auto loss.
Oh, no.
And I'm not really sure, but since Dan really had fairly thin tasting notes, he didn't offer us a lot on this one. I'm going to give Mike the win.
Okay,
he stuck
fair.
His nose out and he got
he
real
jumped
close.
In there, yeah. So.
I went aggressive, man. He said points for going.
So
gold.
Not
okay.
To mention the ABV. On the nose, 7.5.
Wow, okay, oh, he got us that win.
That is the best I will do this entire time. I should pack up.
You should, yeah, go home.
All right.
You just won.
I'm gonna wash out your glasses and pour the next beer.
Man, I think we got a ringer right here.
I mean, I feel like I sound like a pro or something. I hit the ABV on the nose down to the 10th of a percent.
It's a very
I got
the
country.
Man. So I hope, I think you have a con artist here that you're like, oh, I'm a beer amateur, and then we're just, this is like, the whole point of this is to make me look dumb, or make yourself look smart, depending on how
maybe. I did just spend a weekend in Colorado basically doing nothing but drinking beers,
okay,
so,
that's fair.
I mean, I've warmed up a little bit.
Okay, yeah, so you're in the zone
that
after
is,
last weekend.
That is just, that. I mean, I will not get remotely close to another beer after that, but I do like Colton, I enjoy Belgian ales a lot.
Okay.
They're very good. I like them better, though, with food pairings than I do on their own, if that makes sense.
So you don't like just like the heavy concentrated dose of the ale flavor?
Exactly. I feel like it goes really well if you're at a French restaurant or something like that. With
interesting.
Pretty much a ton of different
maybe
French
a Belgian
dishes.
Restaurant.
Do they even have Belgian restaurants?
I'm not sure if that's the type
I feel
of
like
food.
Belgian cuisine, besides their waffles, right?
That's they beer are known for their waffles.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, beer and waffles.
That'll
dude, let's start a restaurant.
Yeah, beer and waffles? Okay.
Yeah.
That'll catch on. But I mean, Belgium is so close to France. I feel like they share a lot of the same cuisine and everything.
I think that's fair.
But I like Belgian ales with like mussels, and a bunch of other, I don't know, French dishes, I guess. But drinking it on its own, I don't know. It kind of, I almost get a little tired of the taste. I feel like you need something to balance it out.
Right.
All right, boys. Here's beer number two. Thank you for your patience. As the gentlemen sniff and sample and look at this beer, I'm going to take a moment because Dan made a comment during the last beer that suggested to me he didn't know quite what an ale was.
That is correct.
Okay, so let me break down while you guys are making your notes. There are basically two kinds of beer in the world. There are lagers and ales. Mm-hmm. And what seems peculiar about this is that there are two attributes that you flip. If you're an ale, then you're typically made with top fermenting yeast. That's just the species, the types of yeast that get used to brew the beer. And you are typically lagered for a shorter period of time. Lagers tend to be made with bottom fermenting yeast. That's the definition of a lager. And they tend to be stored and aged for a longer period of time. Maybe because of the nature of yeast, lagers have a smaller variety. Usually you'll see things that are marked like a lager or a pilsner and not a lot else. And 90% of the beers on the list will be ales of every sort, this and that. So all an ale really means is that the yeast is top fermenting. You can make an ale and then ferment it a long time, or make a lager and not lager it, and you get funny things like the Anchor Steam beer, but not a lot of people do that for whatever reason. Brewers know best. So, when ready, Dan is going to go first on judging beer number two.
Okay, so it's very, I don't know if there's a word for this in beer, but carbonated. There's like a very... a lot of bubbles, and you really feel it when you take a sip of it. I have no idea what I'm talking about. That's a general asterisk for this podcast. But I'm going to say that it's a Pilsner. I'm not entirely sure what that even means. But I'm saying it's a one. I'm saying it's a 7.2 ABV. It's got a little bit of a... I don't know the right word for it, but... It's like almost metallic aftertaste. I don't know if that's the right word.
Interesting.
It's like a.
Now that you say it, I
associate it with. I don't know what I associate it with, but like there's a. It's an interesting aftertaste that I didn't expect with the.
It's like you put a penny in your mouth.
And that's kind of yeah. That's what it feels like a little bit at the end.
Okay.
This one. It actually emits a little bit more of an aroma than the last one.
I think it's much more aromatic than the last one.
Yeah.
I think I can definitively say that this is not a Pilsner.
Okay.
I believe that this is an ale. But
it's an ale, sure. I'm just making words up here, so.
Yeah, well, you know, you said a lot. I mean, I couldn't have come up with metallic, but now that you say it, I absolutely get that. So I feel like this is a really good tasting note. It was cloudy. It had a good... definitely had a good aroma to it, which I liked a lot. That was very pleasant, and it had a good head, too. Besides that, I mean, I'm not sure really what to make of the taste. I don't know if I've ever really had a beer like this. It seems close to... It's not like... I wouldn't call it an IPA at all.
It reminds me of something I've had, but I can't put my finger on what it was.
It's, it almost is like halfway between like a Bell's Two Hearted, like that type of ale, but... not that close to it. So I wouldn't call it like an amber ale. I don't know.
It's definitely not amber. It's too light to be amber.
Oh, I don't know.
It could be a pale ale.
I'll call it a pale ale, but not an IPA. That's what I'll get my guess at it.
Okay.
All right. And Dan, I think, picked 7.2 for the ABV.
I'm going to say 6.4.
I'm going to say 6.4. All right. Has either of you ever had a Saison?
Oh, of course. Yes.
All right.
Remind me what that is. I know that
Saison.
So in English, it's a Saison. And in French, I guess it's Saison.
Yes.
I don't know, but everyone in the beer world says Saison. So okay. here's the funny thing. This is a style of ale. It is a light-colored, like a blonde ale.
Blonde ale, yeah.
Often described as a farmhouse ale,
right.
I think because of culturally where the style evolved. The
That's
key word
yeah.
for the tasting notes that you guys didn't catch is dry.
Oh, this I even is, thought that.
This is considered a dry beer, in the sense that a wine is dry, where after you take a sip, it runs away quickly and you want to take another sip. It doesn't linger very long. This doesn't taste like a lot of American Saisons, but everything that claims to be a Saison is made by having the brewers call up DuPont Brewery in wherever DuPont is in Europe and say, please send us your yeast. We're going to use the DuPont yeast because the DuPont Saison is the Saison. It's the original. And that's what you guys just had.
Oh,
the
wow.
DuPont Saison.
DuPont Saison.
And sorry, let me not confuse you. The bottle will always say Saison DuPont, again, because we're in France or wherever.
Yeah.
But the Saison DuPont is the king of Saisons. So, like I said, dry ale, blonde ale. You're right about it being effervescent.
Yeah.
You guys both gave pretty good tasting notes, and this time Dan called out a metallic taste. I think a lot of beer people would be upset to hear you use that word because it sounds like a pejorative.
And I was trying to come up with a less mean way to say it because it's not unpleasant, but
right.
That's what earthy, I thought of. Yeah.
Earthy.
Okay.
People might even say bready, although this is not by any stretch the most bready of beer styles. I did try to see what each of these brewers said about their own beer, and the big notes from Saison were dry and strong bitterness, although I would disagree with them on the strong bitterness on the basis that I have tasted American beers that actually try to be bitter, and this doesn't try to be bitter.
Yeah.
The aftertaste,
it just happens to be a more floral, a more hoppy palate than a lot of beers in France and Belgium.
Interesting.
So with that said, the alcohol by volume is 6.5%.
Ah, gosh, I am all over
Camarda
this
called
right
6.4.
I am all over this.
So that's a point in your favor, but I still prefer Dan's notes, even though he said it's a Pilsner.
And I had no idea what that was, but okay.
And that's kind of a tough call.
I do feel like I shot myself in the foot with that one.
Yeah, I'm afraid with the better notes, but shooting yourself in the foot, I have to go again to the tiebreaker, and Camarda called the ABV. So that's 2 points in his column.
That's okay, we got time for a comeback.
And there are saltines available, and you guys have cups of water. If you need to cleanse your palates, I will go ready beer number 3.
Beer number 3.
Get this penny out of my mouth.
Ouch.
Harsh. Take that, DuPont.
Yeah, that metallic.
I'm sure that their feelings are going to be hurt. They're going to be in an uproar after they hear Mike says that their beer tastes like a penny.
This is going to be front page news. Renowned beer critic can guess the ABV of any beer just by tasting it.
If you can keep that streak up, I'm going to be suspicious. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, how wild is that?
You were off by 0.1%.
Yeah.
And then the last time you were on the nose.
Right. Well, I was like, well, I won't go exactly 6.5.
I've been high both times, so yeah. I need to shoot a little lower.
The thing is, because I drink a lot of high alcohol content beer, basically I'm just scaling off of that.
Okay.
So like, I know what the alcohol content is of like a lot of these IPAs. So I'm like, okay, this tastes like a little bit less alcohol, so I'm just taking it down like a couple points or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good technique.
Yeah.
Point
or
reference.
You can do the opposite and be like, well, Bud Light is like 4.5 or whatever.
And it sounds like it tastes like 1.5 of those.
It tastes like 1.5 Bud Lights. So there you go.
Beer number 3 is ready for you, boys. I guess our listening audience doesn't get to see these beers, and it's a little bit too easy for these guys to say something like, "Oh, it's this color," or "Oh, it's this clarity." So this is a bit of a dim beer. It's a little bit reddish brown. It has a consistent thin head of delicious tiny bubbles. It actually looks darker than you would think at first. As I enjoy my partial glass, I'm certainly not leaving myself out of this beer tasting extravaganza. And you might have heard a little bit of a woo when this one went down their gullets at first. I think this will be an interesting one to hear the reviews as soon as Mike feels ready to make a comment.
God, this is an interesting beer. First of all, it has vinegar notes in terms of the aroma and everything when you're smelling it. I want to say like vinegar and maybe plum or some sort of like grape note of that sort.
Ooh, all right. We're starting to get into it now.
I was going to say, this has strong hints of grape soda.
That's exactly what I said. Grape, plum, that sort of thing. That
general, purple-ish, generic purple stone taste. Fruit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, that color is fascinating. You know, it's very, it is, it's red. You know, it's not like Killian's Irish Red, but it's got an interesting color to it. I don't know if I've ever tasted a beer like this. I'm going to guess it's some sort of shandy that's maybe like fruit infused or something like that, because it doesn't taste very hoppy at all. There's almost no sort of like hoppy beer flavor to it. It's not overly citrusy like Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy, where you really get like a ton of lemon notes, but it has enough of a fruit flavor. It's very carbonated too, when it hits your tongue, which is very interesting, which makes me think it's some sort of blend for this beer, but I couldn't tell you exactly what it is. No,
I agree. It almost tastes like juice or soda. It's so sweet.
Yeah.
And it's almost sour. It's got like a hint of like sourness to it. It makes your cheeks pucker a little bit.
It does.
It's not an unpleasant. You see, sometimes you think sour, you think like something that's gone bad, but it doesn't taste like that. It's just like the striking sweetness and carbonation give it a sour feel to it. Yeah. And I was gonna say it tastes like purple drink, and you kind of hit that too.
So I have no idea what to guess the ABV at for this one. I really don't. I think it could be all over the map because it's not exactly a very, beer flavor. It could be like jungle juice. This could have Bacardi 151 in it.
And you wouldn't know.
And Colton could be date raping us right now, and I would have no idea.
And pause the mic. No, just kidding.
I'll take a shot at first. I'm going to say 5%.
I'm going to say, I've been high every single time, man.
$1, Bob.
I'm going to say 6.1%.
Now, Mike used the word blend, and he was talking about this might be a blend of maybe a beer and a fruit. Would you believe that this is a blend of two different beers?
Really?
From the same brewery, and this is how the style is made. So this is something like one-third young beer and one-third old beer. The same beer, just aged for different lengths of time and then mixed together.
Really?
The beer that's being mixed is a kind of lambic. I don't know if you guys have had lambics before.
I don't even know what that is.
All right, so let me break it down. The beer you're drinking is the Rodenbach Grand Cru. Cru is C-R-U. Rodenbach's Grand Cru. Rodenbach is a Belgian brewery. The Grand Cru is under the stylistic category of a Flanders Red.
Mm.
So it's got red right in the name. It's made from a kind of lambic, and a lambic is a beer that is fermented by wild yeast, which gives it a sour taste. Or a lot of different fruit notes come out. A lot of interesting tart fruits come out. And this is a specific recipe they've used that involves mixing an old lambic with a younger lambic, and they're all aged in, I think, oak casks together. Some of the words that they use to describe their beer, they say that it has strong notes of wood and esters. Certainly it is sour, which I think Dan is the first one to catch on to that. The vinegar notes are not far off, but that's it's definitely a tart beer. They use the word vinous, which I think is a fancy word for winey.
Hmm.
And I think you guys both called out the grapes. One said grape and the other said grape soda.
Purple drink.
Purple drink.
Is that one of their notes?
They didn't reference purple drink specifically on the English version of their page. I don't know. They might not be used to purple drink over there. So that's what you're dealing with. It's intentionally sour. It has a lot of grape and winey kinds of notes, and it is, believe it or not, pure beer.
Wow.
That's what wild fermentation gets you.
Interesting.
The ABV on this one, 6.0.
I said 6.1, right?
I never declared Price is Right ruling, so 6.1 is closer.
Very well done, Dan.
So Dan gets that, and both of you gave pretty good tasting notes to this one. So I'm just going to keep riding that wild card and award this one to Dan, because that seems as fair as anything else.
All right.
Keeps it close anyways. A 3-0 runaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not in that territory yet. We are, however, in beer 4 territory in a moment.
Crazy that it had that much of a fruit flavor without it being like fruit infused.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't quite like shandy level or something, or like ridiculous trash.
I didn't think it was the shandy. I've tasted that before. It just, that one actually, you taste the juice in it. And this one, you had a little bit of that, but it wasn't It wasn't, like, I could tell, it didn't taste like it was blended with a juice to me.
But didn't it just have, like, almost no, like,
bitter, yeah, it didn't flavor. Have the beer flavor.
Like, when you talk right about that. when you're,
like, that hopsiness to it, there exactly. was basically none of that.
There is almost no hop notes. That's interesting. I feel like that is the kind of beer that you give, like, 17-year-old girls at a high school party.
What, just because it's sweet and sour?
Because it's, like, sweet and sour like that. Someone asks for a grape soda, and you just pour them a Rodenbach
whatever.
Grand Cru.
Lambic? Is that what you call it?
It's a lambic.
Lambic, okay.
Which yeah. I've never even heard of.
I'm going to have to Google that when I get home.
I feel like that beer and Zima, is what I'm saying, are in, like, the same category together. And wine coolers.
I wonder how
it
they
just
feel
doesn't
about
seem
that.
Like a very beery beer.
Yeah. It's like...
And it's very
it'd
different.
Be a change of pace if you're looking for the... If you're, like, used to normal beer flavors, it's a change of pace, that's for sure.
I feel like it'd be really good on, like, if you were on a summer day, like, if you were outside or something like that, it'd be very good. Like, at some sort of sporting event or picnic or anything.
I don't think I'd want more than one bottle of that, though, just because of that sourness to it. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that would get old.
You would get tired of it.
Yeah, like, I could have a bottle of that, but
right.
I wouldn't want to be,
so
like,
so it doesn't have
that
Bud Light drinkability?
No.
Not so much?
No, I mean, but it is a... It was pleasant for, like, a little glass of it, though. Like, it was just different than what I was expecting.
It's so funny, because, like, the very first taste of that was nothing like how I expected it to taste when I looked at it and smelled it. If that makes sense.
I thought it was going to be, like, really strong of some sort, because you got that was very aromatic, and then, you know, the color was very dark and everything.
Right.
All right, what we got here, Colton?
Beer number four is what you've got here, and I almost want to give bonus points for whoever... described that last one as a summer beer. I was reading some articles a couple months ago when summer was just dawning, talking about local beer aficionados and bartenders and people. What do they like to drink in the summer? And basically everybody said one of two things. They either said a wheat beer or a sour beer.
Yeah, interesting.
When you ask in the winter, everybody wants something dark. Everybody wants, you know, a porter right. or a stout that's got lots of calories. But in the summer, it's either wheats or sours that beer people like.
Huh. All right, so we're on number four.
We are on number
I'm
four.
I'm already ready to give my opinion on this.
Mike,
which I think is a telltale.
Mike barely picked up his glass,
yep.
gave it the barest sniff and the barest taste, and he is just eagerly awaiting... So that he can laugh out loud at whatever Dan has to say about it.
I think Dan's going to nail it. First of all, I think he just gave an obvious tell towards what I think it is.
Well, it's definitely an IPA.
Exactly.
It's very. It's got the distinct taste of an IPA, the hopsiness to it, as well as a familiar kind of aftertaste to it. And I'm trying to think, because I've had, like I said, I've had a bunch of IPAs. I don't think my tongue is refined enough that I can immediately point to a specific brewery.
Yeah,
are you there?
No, I mean... I don't want to be wrong on this. I could take a guess, but...
Take a guess, then.
Nah, man, you're still going. You got more comments? I mean,
right.
This is
well,
a very
say,
good IPA, though.
Yeah, it's not quite... I had Dogfish Head 90-minute last night. It's close. This tastes closer to the 60-minute than the 90-minute.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely not like 90-minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good.
It is a pretty bitter...
It tastes
IPA.
Like the Lagunitas something-something, which is actually kind of a... half and half beer. It's not 100% IPA. But that definitely has pale ale flavor, for sure. It has a very... I love the hoppy aftertaste. Like, this is my type of beer 100%. You know what I mean? So, I don't know if there's really that much else to say. It's got a good color to it. Yeah. I mean, what do you
think? I mean, it's a pale ale, so it's nice. It's light.
Yeah.
Which I always thought it was interesting that, like, the pale ale is so bitter, you know? It's
exactly.
got so much hopsiness to
but
it.
But that's what I like, is it's not super heavy when it hits your tongue and everything.
Right.
But then you get that aftertaste that lets you know that you're drinking a beer, which is very different than the lambic we just had. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
This is has more heaviness to it, but not dark heaviness, just the,
yeah.
it's just the hops flavor. Yeah.
What if I told you two that in the brewery's own description of this beer, they took for granted all of the flavor notes you would give for an IPA in general? And they threw out a couple of the subtler notes that might distinguish this from another IPA. I've got three words written down, and if either one of you can guess them in the next 10 or 20 seconds,
okay.
major well, points.
I'm about to run out of beer. You might have to pour some more of this guy.
Don't worry, there's a little bit left in every one of these bottles for later.
Okay. I'm trying to think. It's hard to put a taste to a word, so it's not as bitter as the most
pumpkin.
Bitter ones I've had. It's tangy. That's all I was going to say. I don't know.
The words they used were piney.
Piney.
Citrusy.
Okay.
And tropical.
Tropical?
I would not have said tropical with this one.
Well, you would have to disagree with Stone Brewery. I'm afraid I was so hoping that someone would call it. It's not an IPA.
It's not.
It's a double IPA.
Oh, boy.
The Stone Ruination.
Interesting.
I've had that before, actually.
This is, the bottle says Stone Ruination 2.0. I don't know when they changed the recipe. I don't know if you had the old one or the new one.
I'm going to say 7.5% ABV.
8.5. It doesn't taste that
no,
boozy.
No.
When you said double IPA, I almost wanted to overshoot
just
a little bit.
Just jump way up.
Yeah, over 8, but
that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, I'll go in between the 6 and the 9, which is what I associate with like a weaker IPA with versus a stronger IPA, but
yeah. I don't know if Mike the Hophead has any comments. I don't really know much what distinguishes a double IPA from an IPA.
No, I actually don't know. I'm assuming that it's actually the brewing technique is what makes it between a double and like how much is added at what point. I think it's you introduce hops at 2 points in it or something like that.
Hmm.
I could just be absolutely pulling that out of my butt.
You know who introduces hops at 3 steps in the
oh,
brewing process?
Oh, I absolutely do. Miller, man.
Miller.
Oh, really?
That's why
Triple
is that their trademark?
Their stuff is the greatest beer alive.
Yeah. Can we take a moment to
high
honor
life.
The high life?
The champagne of beers.
But you know what's even better than that? Coors. Rocky Mountain Cold.
You know your beer is
you're
good
commercial here,
when
man.
It's that
I'm
cold.
Just saying,
what other beer can
so,
you get that cold?
I don't know.
That temperature is only achievable by Coors. That's their whole marketing.
When I was in Colorado, I went up a little heavy on the beers the night before the wedding, so I needed to slow it down a little bit on Saturday. So I was drinking Coors Light. And it's got the Blue Mountains on the front. And then they ran out of Coors Light, and so then they gave me a Bud Light. I was like, oh, this will be fine. And they handed it to me. I'm like, how do I know if this is cold?
There was no mountains
there
on it.
There are no mountains on
it. It doesn't
front.
Even
no
say
mountains?
Super cold on the can.
No, there
wow.
is no indication whether or not my beer is cold. I'm sitting there holding this bottle, and I just have no idea if they just handed me a cold beer. Ridiculous.
It's absurd.
It is. It's a travesty.
Shame.
That should be like,
shame
on Anheuser-Busch.
All right.
All right, guys. I don't think I need to go to the ABV wild card for this one. This was an IPA. Dan, who, according to his own testimony, knows nothing about beer, called that it was an IPA. Mike, who, according to his own testimony, loves IPAs, didn't figure out that it was a double IPA.
Oh,
I think this one goes to Dan.
Oh, that's a technicality.
Wow.
Check mark in the D column.
You're giving him like a handicap here.
That's
all right. Whatever it's called.
Serving an IPA was a handicap for you.
Oh, man.
So, social points. I downplay anything I know about beer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anything.
This keeps it close, though. We're 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2. Man, I had the ABV kicker, too.
That's okay. That's harsh. You lost the IPA.
Judge over here.
You lost the IPA round. How does that feel?
Who's the guy? First of all, I'm going to file a formal protest over that.
Okay.
Formal protest.
Gentlemen, good luck. Beer number 5 is served. I have a feeling that this will take more than the slightest sniff and taste from Mr. Camarda.
Interesting. Not the taste you expect right there.
Not the taste you would expect from beer. But you're not drinking just any beer.
Is this a special beer?
They're all special beers. I wouldn't serve you guys a can of Strawberita and tell you it's raining, you know. It's.
I really hope that the last beer is like Strawberita
or
Bud
so
Light
excited.
Lime or something like that. And we're all like, you know, this is some really interesting strawberry notes and flavor.
And I'll be like, psych, it's Bud Light Lime. There's no strawberry in it.
I just put red food coloring in.
Man, there was a time when I wished I could have been a home brewer. And then I realized that takes a lot of space, a lot of time, and not a lot of money, but mostly you just need friends who are willing to get drunk on a constant and consistent basis.
To
be a home brewer.
Hello?
Look, we're talking 24 bottles a week.
Alright. Well, that's almost alcohol.
That's a little much.
We have jobs. given a few moments to consider the aromas. Mike is on point.
Yeah, I'm up first. Jeez. Yep,
there you go.
At the plate.
This one's interesting because it holds its head really long. I'd say it has lemon notes more than anything. It's tart is how I would describe it. Tart and sour. Almost a little bit like chalky on the finish. As for what type of beer, man.
I definitely taste... I
really don't know.
I don't know if it's wheat, but it's definitely something that reminds me of like a wheat or like a bready flour, not like the petals flour, but
see,
like
I would definitely say this isn't like a wheat
it
beer,
doesn't it doesn't taste know? Like what I think of as a wheat beer, but it's like some other grain type flavor to it. That
it's sour, it's got citrus,
it does have the sour like that other one that we had. It's not quite as sour as that one, but
yeah, I don't think I can point at a type of beer.
There's like a distinct flavor to it. I'm trying to nail what that distinct flavor is, but
you guys are pulling out some good vocabulary now. Wanna throw a Hail Mary? You got any ideas that are just on the tip of your tongue?
For like a flavor or something? Or?
Anything that the beer evokes.
Okay, hold on, give me 3 seconds here.
Chalky, tart, and that wasn't any of them.
I don't think it's rye, but I don't really know what I'm talking about. It's definitely, there's like a distinct flavor in there, and I don't know what that distinct flavor is. It's like
it tastes like stone. It tastes like you were licking a rock. That's what that tastes like.
Okay.
All right, you guys don't have to agree with me, but a word that this beer brings to mind for me is champagne.
I could... hold on, let me take one.
We've got a maybe from Dan and a vigorous head shaking from Mike.
At the risk of offending the judge here and losing a million points, where did he get the champagne note from?
It might not come across in the sampling glass, although I think it did in the pour I gave myself. It's a very effervescent beer. And it has an element of grape notes to it.
I can taste the grape a little bit, yeah.
And there are beers that are called beer de champagne that are a style that really imitates a bottle of champagne. But for me, this approaches that style. So that's where it falls in my mind. Let me tell you where it falls in the minds of Boone Brewery.
Boone?
This is another Belgian style.
Oh, okay.
No, Boone, I think, is a city in Belgium, and...
doesn't sound like a Belgian city.
The style of this beer...
Do we want to take a guess at the ABV before we get to the style? I guess I'm up first, right?
I guess, yeah, go for it.
I'm going to go with 5.5.
7.0. I've been higher than you every single time.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
All right, let's jump straight to it. 7.0.
Destroyed.
7.0. This is another kind of lambic, and maybe this is my Belgian preferences coming through, but really when I'm looking at a wall full of bottles, I wanted to give you guys some things that are distinct, definitive for the style, and also hopefully outside of what you've tried before.
Yeah.
So that previous sour beer was a Flanders Red. This one is called a Goose.
Goose.
It's spelled different ways. I think on the bottle it's Geuze.
Okay.
And this is again, Goose is typically a mixture of old beer and young beer. This one has different notes. It's not as sour. It's more carbonated. It's also a totally different color. The other one was a deep mahogany red. And
this one's light.
Yeah, it's blonde. It's almost wheat-y in color. They claim grape notes, grapefruit notes, and
grapefruit.
Ginger.
Ooh. I can definitely
know if you
taste
got any
the grapefruit.
Of that.
I didn't pick up on the ginger.
The ginger, I think I get that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You guys both seem to pick up on the grapefruit because you said things that were in that domain.
Yeah.
A little bit of sour and tart. And I think that your appraisals were very near each other and good detail from both of you this time. So Dan is going to pick it up on the ABV and take a 1-point lead going into the final
three
beer.
Three in a row. I'm gonna say that I formally protest the IPA.
Wow, calling shenanigans on the IPA.
I'm calling big shenanigans on that. And I quasi-protest number three where I won on the ABV kicker. I feel like this is just a highway
robbery.
He's just
trying to keep it dramatic, but remember, the rules are completely up to him.
I know.
He's the boss man.
I know. Which means I need to get my bride game on point for this last beer. That's interesting. I don't know if I've ever had a lambic before, and now I've had two in one day.
But they're very different. They had some similar sourness to it.
Yep.
But they just... Actually, now that I think about it, they both had a very...
They were very... Actually, yeah, I'd say they're kind of comparable in flavor profiles. But, like, as a beer, they were very different.
They both had, like...
color and everything else.
So I don't know if it was... It was... Because I know he talked in the first one that about how it was fermented. He talked about that a lot. But, like, both of them, I could taste that flavor that had been developed inside of it. There was... I could tell there was, like, a budding flavor in this one. I mentioned that. And it was in the other one, too. But yeah, not as sour. It was very bubbly, though. Beer de champagne.
Beer de champagne. That's just, like, the pretentious way of labeling your beer if you're a brewer.
Basically. Like Miller High Life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they call Miller High Life the champagne of beers. God, we are plugging Miller and
we're all about that.
So hard.
Dude, in college.
We've been hating on Bud a little bit, though.
I just don't drink Bud, is the thing.
No. It's not good. It's
I mean, around
terrible.
Here, Yingling is basically always available.
Yeah.
So, I would...
If you're going for a cheap lager, I feel like Yingling gets the job done really well. There's, like, regional beers that are everybody's cheap beer. Like, you go up into New York, they have this, like, Genesee stuff. Jenny Light.
Okay.
Genesee Cream Ale.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've had that, yeah.
And that's, like... You know, it's just as bad as anybody else's.
That's like,
that's their thing that they drink.
Right.
And Yingling, like, used to be just Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? Like, how Genesee is New York. It used to be, like, just Pennsylvania. But I forget who they got bought by. I think it was Anheuser-Busch. I think it was...
I have no idea.
But now they distribute all over. They've got, like, national campaigns and everything.
They're huge around here. I mean, they're basically everywhere around here.
So. Yeah. That used to not be a case. It used to be... You had to go into Pennsylvania. It was like the only place you were going to get it.
Right.
Pennsylvania, by the way, has some really strange alcohol laws.
Okay.
Like you, what? Like, can't... You know how you can go into, like, a grocery store around here?
Oh, yeah. Is that the state where you have to get it at a liquor store?
It's like, you, there are, like, specific bottle shops. And then when you go in to, like, buy it, alcohol, you can only buy, like, a six-pack. Or, like, 2 6-packs. You can't get, like, I'm going to get a case of beer. It doesn't exist.
Really?
Unless you go to, like, a distribution center. And then those are few and far between. But their liquor laws basically don't allow most places to sell beer, period, for people to carry out. And the ones that can, like, a grocery store has to sell it in very small quantity. And then if you want any kind of, like, mass whatever, you have to go to, like, a... Basically, a distributor, like a bottling plant or whatever. It's like a distributor. And, yeah.
So what I'm hearing is, do not move to Pennsylvania.
No, it's wild. I would never move there. You got some strange laws. Maryland's not that much better, though, either. You can't buy alcohol in a grocery store in Maryland.
Really?
Yeah, like, if you go into a Harris Teeter or something like that in Maryland, you cannot buy a beer.
Get another mark against Maryland.
It's the worst.
Worst state. Actually, we all know what the worst state is, right, Colton?
Ohio.
Of course.
Fuck Ohio.
Wait, what's wrong with Ohio?
What's not wrong with Ohio?
First of all,
well,
I have a strongly dislike Ohio. I'm just surprised that you guys also dislike Ohio.
Colton and I have frequently discussed our ranking of states, and Ohio...
Ranks 51st on my list of the 50. Puerto Rico is number 50. So, well, while you guys taste this beer, I could opine about the... how terrible Ohio is. But let me just say, I think I overheard Dan chatting about how he tasted like there was some sort of nascent flavor in a couple of these beers, something that was developing there. And I believe it was just the two lambics. Oh, no, I'm wrong. The two lambics and the Saison DuPont that you've tasted are all bottle conditioned. And what that means is... it continues to age, and the flavor changes the longer you leave it in the bottle. Mm. There's still some yeast in there that is alive and actively doing work. So it's got its own little biome in there, and the longer you store it, the more the flavor changes. And some people will tell you that the longer you leave it, the better it gets. Depends on the beer, I think. This last one ought to be a real good head-scratcher. This is quite different, and... I haven't tasted it before. I'm actually saying this before I even smell or taste it for my first time. Just based on the advertising, this ought to be different. So I've given away something by saying this is a beer I've never had. I'll even go further. This beer is from a nano brewery in Virginia.
Huh.
I have had their beers, and I like them very much, but I haven't had this one yet. And I thought it would be a suitable closer. And I invite Dan to begin the ratings at his liberty.
Well, the overwhelming flavor for me is caramel. It's got very much a caramel honey-ish taste to it. It's sweet, but not like a sugary or fruity sweet. It's like a some candy-ish to it.
It is, absolutely. I was going to say licorice and chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate I also wrote down here.
Licorice and chocolate is a extremely alcoholic taste to the beer. It doesn't taste like hops. No, this tastes like actual ethyl alcohol. That's how I would say. I'm going to go ahead and go for broke here and say that I really dislike this beer. This is the style of beer that I just cannot drink. It's just, if I'm going to drink this, I might as well get myself a mixed drink. And nay, I might as well just get myself like straight, crappy Jose Cuervo tequila. Because this isn't a very drinkable beer. And to me, it's like the flavors don't compensate for how harsh this is as it finishes. Like, it actually burns my esophagus on the way down. That is how bad this beer is.
Wow. He just...
9.0.
Here we go. On that. Here we go. Dan, do you have a rebuttal?
Yeah, I mean, so, like, with a mixed drink, whenever I have a mixed drink, I can taste that it's like a... It's like something masking an alcohol. I mean, yeah, you can have good mixed drinks.
This tastes like to me. This tastes like to me. I poured myself a tumbler of the cheapest Jack Daniels I can get and then splashed some Coke in it.
That's what this tastes like to you?
No, not exactly like that. But that's like the equivalent of this drink. I mean, I don't understand the point of a beer like this. I don't understand people who want to drink beers like this. It's not a good beer. I mean, I don't know what I would call it. I mean, this might be like a stout of some sort. But I just don't think it's good. I think it's about a 9.0 on ABV, maybe 9.5, 10%.
It does taste strong. It's definitely strong, and you're right. After you pointed it out, I definitely felt the aftertaste is like, it's a little bit of like when you do sip something that has liquor in it. Like it's something that's a little bit distinct from most of the beers you have. But I wouldn't want to drink it like as my main beer for the evening or whatever, but I would have a bottle of this.
I would have a bottle of this so that I could, like, I don't know, clean a wound with it. Because this has to have some sort of bacterial killing. I don't know. It's just not good. That's my opinion.
I mean, if it didn't have, like, the somewhat... I mean, I agree with you that it's definitely potent, okay? But it has that hint of honeyness and caramel and chocolate or you called it licorice.
Yeah, I said licorice and chocolate. Yeah,
I like caramel is what I came up with, but it's got that, and that's kind of interesting and kind of striking. But it does seem like a little bit of a middle ground, because, or maybe not middle ground, but like it's two different ways, because it's got that strong intensity to it, but it also has that that aromatic sweet candy-ish flavor to it. You know,
you want to give me a number?
For ABV?
Sure.
So what did you settle on, Mike?
Oh, I don't know. I say in between 9.
Well, I'm supposed to go, so...
Yeah, you go first.
I'll say... it's definitely strong. I'll say 8.9.
8.9? All right. Yeah, it's I said 9%. I think it's even higher than that, maybe.
All right. There's a word that gets thrown around in beer circles. Booziness.
Okay.
And booziness is not necessarily meant as a negative thing. There are a lot of beers where you have a balanced flavor profile that has some complexity to it, and alcohol is a prominent note in that profile on purpose. This is one of those beers.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it has the alcohol flavor, but it has, it's not, that's the only thing you feel. It's like, it has the other things going on too.
It's overpowering as a note. I don't feel like it blends in well enough. I feel like when you finish taking it, when you have that on your tongue and it's in your mouth, it tastes good. When you finish drinking it, it has an extremely harsh finish that ruins the beer. To the point where you'd start drinking a beer like this, you'd get halfway through your bottle and you'd say, Jesus. And you just get tired. My opinion.
On the one hand, this is a style of beer that I love. On the other hand, Mike is absolutely entitled to his opinion and hasn't said anything wrong. Like, different beers are for different people. So here's something of how they describe it. They say that it has an alcoholic bite right off the bat. That's the first thing in your nose. That's the first thing on your tongue. And that after that, there's an element of hop bitterness that comes in the middle. And that after that, the lasting, lingering finish is a sweet malt breadiness. It's how they describe their own beer. Agree or disagree? The style is a barley wine.
Barley wine.
Aged in tequila barrels.
Oh.
Cuervo!
You even said that.
Did.
This the barley wine beer is called Tenebris.
Barley wine.
Or Tenebris. I'm not sure how they mean for it to be pronounced because it's a Latin word. The brewery is Adroit Theory in Purcellville.
Yeah.
And I've heard of that. They make a Tenebris barley wine, and this is them taking that beer they already had on shelves, aging it in tequila barrels for extra alcoholic bite, and putting it back in bottles. You guys said a lot about this beer, and I think that everything you said was pretty much right. I was really impressed. Getting the alcohol, even saying Jose Cuervo at one point, getting that there was some bitterness there, and getting that it had some sweetness and some candy flavors. Barley wines are, I mean, that name is pretty straightforward, honestly. Barley is what goes into beer, and barley wine means this is basically a wine made out of beer ingredients. The ABV is 10.7%.
Yeah. Yikes.
I knew it was strong.
For really nailing this one on the head and getting it just right, I'm going to give Mike the victory. There's a rule that I didn't mention until just now, and that is the last beer counts double.
Oh,
final score, 4-3, Mike. Our champion.
With the walk-off, Jose Cuervo for the win.
Jose Cuervo.
And the crowd is wild.
And as his prize, I'm going to finish his beer, because yes, he clearly doesn't want this one.
Absolutely not.
Don't worry, everything we tasted has a third left in the bottle, so we can take care of some business now.
Barley wine.
Barley wine. I would never have pulled that one out. I've seen that word before, but I don't know if I would have associated it with this.
All right.
Well, there we go. So, I guess I learned a little bit.
I learned a lot of it. First of all, I don't think I've ever had a lambic before. Now I've tried two of them.
So you're a lambic master now.
I wouldn't say that.
A lot of lambics are actually flavored with fruit on top, and there's a different Belgian or French word for each one depending on the fruit. Like K-R-I-E-K, creek.
Okay.
Means a cherry lambic. That's the most common kind.
Uh-huh.
And there are peach lambics and pear lambics and blackberry lambics. You can find them all. Framboise is, what's it? Lindemann's Framboise is the most commonly for sale brand of lambic.
So, Mike, I guess your favorite was the IPA we had?
Actually, I'd say that's a tough one. I like the IPA. It wasn't the best IPA. But it's a good one, and I really liked the very first beer we had a lot. The Belgian Double, which I called a triple. My bad.
Weak.
But I like those beers. I really do. I think it's really interesting, because you can tell that it's just by what you've had that you can recognize things. Like, I do drink Belgian Ales, and I do drink IPAs, and I knew
you instantly could detect those.
Yeah, I should have known the Saison.
Saison?
Saison!
We went to a French restaurant in D.C., and I ordered one, and I did not pronounce it according to that waiter's. Oh, you mean
Saison?
Saison. And so from now on, I always say it's stupid, because that one time I got corrected.
Because of that guy.
For not pronouncing it with enough of a, I don't even know, guttural French bullshit. So, yeah, I don't know.
That waiter sounds like an asshole.
He was. Is this why you don't go to a French restaurant? Whatever. That's why you order Belgian ales.
Seriously. Just you can say double or triple.
Yeah, I'll have the double, and you call it a day instead of a sizzle.
I picked a lot of Belgian beers. I think we drank three Belgian beers, and the DuPont, I want to say, is French. It might also be Belgian. So maybe four Belgian beers. And in my original six pack, I had the Vien Stefaner Weissbier, which is like the German wheat beer. And then I said to myself, these guys have had wheat beer. Yeah. They don't need to taste a wheat beer. So I put it back and got the Grand Cru instead.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, those two beers were very, very different.
So this was, definitely some stuff I hadn't tasted before here.
Well, not a bad inaugural brewcast or whatever.
I think we might need to do another brewcast. Could you pick out six more beers, Colton?
I could. I could even... I could even pick out six beers that are all the same style and see how you guys differentiate them.
Oh, man, that would be
wild.
We'll
need to brainstorm on this, guys. I would definitely do another one, so.
I think...
Dropping knowledge, Colton.
Thanks for joining us.
Were you going to say something, Mike?
No, I'm done.
We're done?
I'm out.
Time to go drink some more beer?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, heading out, this is Dan.
Colton.
Mike.
This is a good time. We'll see you guys later.
Oh, in some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. Now this little song, it's more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind.